took it, uncertainly, aware of the grins on the faces of his men, but he opened his arms with what he hoped was a suitably evil, little does she suspect, look on his face. "That's right," said the old woman, standing back. She kicked him viciously in the groin, in an incredibly efficient, if unladylike way, reached down as he toppled, caught up the cauldron, flung it accurately at the face of the first henchman, and picked up her knitting before he fell. The two surviving robbers hadn't had time to move, but then one unfroze and leapt for the sword. He staggered back under its weight, but the blade was long and reassuring. "Ha-ha-ha!" he said, and grunted as he raised the sword. "How the hell did you carry this, old woman?" "It's not my sword," she said. "It belonged to the man over there." The man risked a look sideways. A pair of feet in armoured sandals were just visible behind a rock. They were very big feet. "But I've got a weapon," he thought. And then he thought. So did he. The old woman sighed and drew two knitting needles from the ball of wool. The light glinted on them, and the blanket slid away from her shoulders and fell onto the snow. "Well, gentlemen," she said. Cohen pulled the gag off the minstrel's mouth. The man stared at him in terror. "What's your name, son?" said Cohen. "You kidnapped me. I was walking along the street and..." "How much?" said Cohen. "What?" "How much to write me a saga?" "You stink." "Yeah, it's the walrus," said Cohen evenly. "Spit like garlic in that respect. Anyway, a saga, that's what I want. And what you want is a big bag of rubies, not unadjacent in size to the rubies what I have here." He upended a leather bag into the palm of his hand. The stones were so big the snow glowed red. The musicians stared at them. "You got... what's that word, Truckle?" said Cohen. "Art," said Truckle. "You got art, and we got rubies. We give you rubies, you give us art," said Cohen. "End of problem, right?" "Problem?" The rubies were hypnotic. "Well, mainly the problem you'll have if you tell me you can't write me a saga," said Cohen, still in a pleasant tone of voice.
"But look, I'm sorry, but sagas are just primitive poems, aren't they?"
The wind, never ceasing here near the hub, had several seconds in which to produce its more forlorn yet threatening whistle.
"It'll be a long walk to civilization, all by yourself," said Truckle at length. "Without your feet," said Boy Willie.
"Please? Nah, lads, we don't want to do that to the boy," said Cohen. "He's a bright lad, got a great future ahead of him."
He took a pull of his home-rolled cigarette and added,
"Up until now. Nah, I can see he's thinking about it. A heroic saga, lad. It'll be the most famousest one ever."
"What about?"
"Us."
"You? But you're all old..."
The minstrel stopped. Even after a life that had hitherto held no danger greater than a hurled meat bone at a banquet, he could recognise sudden death when he saw it. And he saw it now. Age hadn't weakened here, well, except in one or two places. Mostly it had hardened.
"But I wouldn't know how to compose a saga," he said feebly.
"We'll help," said Truckle. "We know lots," said Boy Willie.
"Been in most of them," said Cohen.
The minstrel's thoughts ran like this. These men are rubies insane. They are rubies sure to kill me, rubies. They've dragged me rubies, all the rubies, rubies. They want to give me a big bag of rubies, rubies.
"I suppose I could extend my repertoire," he mumbled.
A look at their faces made him readjust his vocabulary.
"All right, I'll do it," he said.
A tiny bit of honesty, though, survived even the glow of the jewels.
"I'm not the world's greatest minstrel, you know."
"You will be, after you write this saga," said Cohen, untying his ropes.
"Well, I hope you like it."
Cohen grinned again.
"It's not up to us to like it. We won't hear it," he said.
"What? But you just said you wanted me to write you a saga."
Yeah, but it's going to be the saga of how we died."
It was a small flotilla that set sail from Ankh-Morpork the next day. Things had happened quickly. It wasn't that the prospect of the end of the world was concentrating minds unduly, because that is a general